I've got a change up this morning, so your notes will do nothing for you today. So I hope you brought some blank pages. Let's pray and let's just see how this works out, okay? Father God, I just want to come before you in the name of Jesus. Grateful for the movements of God and the visitations of God. That God, you visited us to accomplish redemption and salvation. Father, you visited us for the work of God to be placed in our lives, transformed into your image, to move from glory to glory, to see, Father, the power of God in a people, to see the light and the presence of God upon them, to see the favor of God, to see the mercy of God, that we would be living witnesses of your life. Your life, your light, your glory, and everything that you are, living witnesses in the way we speak, in the way we live, in the way we carry on, the way we behave. Lord, the way we love. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that you'd use this message this morning. And although these are messages and things that we have preached before in this pulpit, I pray, God, that it would come to have such great fresh meaning on this day. And I ask, God, that we'd walk from this place knowing that you have visited us today and that we have not only a responsibility but a desire to respond to the visitation of God. And I want to thank you for how you're going to work, Lord, and how you're going to move. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to Luke chapter 19, Luke chapter 19, verse 41. Jesus is making his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. This will begin a week of events of the last week of Jesus' life that will bring him to Gethsemane, that will take him to the trials, that will take him to the cross, that will take him to the resurrection, the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. And as he's approaching Jerusalem, people are really excited because there's this idea that this Messiah is showing up in Jerusalem to deliver them from the hand of Rome, the hand of government. That's the expectation, that they would no longer be under Roman rule, but they would be able to live out their lives in the theocracy of the kingdom of God and of Judaism. And that's their expectation. And so when he's coming into Jerusalem, and the people are singing, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." These disciples are so excited. They're excited about what's about to happen. They're going to be free from government rule. They're going to be free from Roman overreach. They're going to be free, and this man is going to come and do this. And yet, when he approaches Jerusalem in verse 41, he sees the city, and he wept over it. Bible says Jesus wept over Jerusalem, over God's people. And he said, "If you had known in this day even the things which make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes." What's hidden from their eyes? The things that make for peace. Jesus came and he showed the way to peace. Peace with God, peace with one another. "For the days will come upon you when your enemies will throw up a barricade against you and surround you and hem you in on every side. And they will level you to the ground and your children within you. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation." You know, I think about this passage of scripture and how really what Jesus does when he speaks this is he pours water over a false excitement. It's a false excitement, folks. It's a false anticipation. I'm not here to deliver you from Rome. I'm here to deliver you from the enemy. Because you can be under the rule of Rome, and you can be enslaved, and you can have all, you can be like even the children in Egypt. and still rule and reign with Jesus, still walk in the peace of God, the peace of Jesus. And he's saying, listen, there's a way of peace. Even in the trial, even in the messed up world, and even when things are just going to hell in a handbasket, there's a way for peace. And guess what? You've missed it. You missed it. And as a result, there is judgment. And as a result, there is consequences to missing your time of visitation. And when I want to say this, I want to say this because I believe with all my heart, in this season of our lives, as a church family especially, I believe that God is visiting us. I believe that God's visiting us. To experience what I've experienced over the last 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks with many of you, I'm telling you, this is a time of visitation. This is a time where God is saving you, delivering you, changing you, transforming you. I'm seeing it on a daily basis. I'm seeing it when I meet with you, when I meet with others. I'm seeing folks delivered from fear and anxiety and stress and lust and bitterness and anger. We have seen it. We've seen it with our eyes. I've seen it as a pastor. We're seeing it as staff today. There is a time of visitation. And I'm saying to you, don't miss it. Don't miss it. Get with it. Move with it. Move with the movement of God. And when I say a time of visitation, what do I mean by that? What does the scripture mean? And I just mean it's the time when God, in this first visitation, when God came as a man. God visited us. God came. Jesus, he is and has been and will always be the God of the Bible. That's who he is. He is God himself who came in the flesh. And he came to make peace. He came to make sure there was a way back to the Father. Through his death, through his burial, through his resurrection, through his word. And he gave it to us. He gave us the word. He gave us the red letters. But he also gave us, as he moves to heaven and he sends the Holy Spirit, he inspires men with the holy word of God. And I'm just going to say this. Yeah, the red letters are great. But I'm telling you, the rest of Scripture is just as important as the red letters. They are. Even Paul said, listen, when you have a doctrine, and that doctrine doesn't agree with the sound words of Jesus, and a doctrine that doesn't conform you to godliness, it is a doctrine of demons. That's what he says. And it's really important here to know that when you open the Word of God, you know what it is. It's the Word of God. And it can change you, and it can transform you, and it can bless you. It can move you. And another thought is that it's how God comes. It's how God comes to you now. It's through the reading, the studying, the delighting, and the obeying and the power of God's word. A visitation of God. A time of visitation. It's when God speaks to you, when he touches you, when he gets your attention through trial or difficulty. It's when you cry out to him and you find yourself out of the trouble you were in. It's God speaking, revealing, convicting, and convincing, and moving, and blessing. And it's when you see the miracles and the glory of God and you know that he's speaking to your heart. It's a visitation from God. And I'm not saying that, folks, that we can't live under a constant visitation from God. Hear what I'm saying. I'm talking about something that's happening corporately. I'm talking about seeing something that God is at work in. And I've seen it in so many of your lives, especially the last few weeks, that God is at work. So that when I listen to the word and when God speaks to me and whatever that is, it may be something that is a conviction that God brings on my heart and my soul. It might be when he exposes sin. It might be when he comes along in time of loss, where God comes and he makes his presence known in a mighty way and he brings comfort to you. or there's things that you're struggling with in your life, in your marriage, in your family, and God comes along and he speaks to your heart and he visits you with the word so that you're changed in that. A visitation from God. You know, when you look at the word time in Scripture, there's two, I mentioned it just a moment ago with Mahal's. There's two words for time. The first one's called chronos. We get the word chronological from. It's measured and counted quantitative time. It's measured in seconds. It's measured in minutes and hours and days and months and then in years. And it's measured in decades, in millenniums. It's centuries. This is chronos time. At some point in chronos time, Jesus came. But there's another time, and it's called kairos, and it's qualitative, and it measures moments. It measures the thing of life's experiences, and it usually talks about the right moment, the proper time, or my time, or the harvest time, or the appointed time. For instance, in Acts 3:10, it says to repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away in order that times of refreshing may come, watch this, from the presence of the Lord. We see that it's a kairos time of refreshing where God just comes and moves in my life and does something powerful that changes, like we talked about, the trajectory of our lives, the trajectory of our marriages, the trajectory of our church. When God visits, when God moves. You know, I think about my own kairos times, very powerful times in my life. Times like 8 years old being saved or 10 years old being beginning to hear a call for vocational ministry. At 17, a surrender to that call. At 27, a deliverance from fear, a filling of the Spirit, a movement of freedom. When God got my attention, when God changed some things in my life that needed changing. Where God took me and brought me to this place and kept us in this place. When we're just a small group of people spending 5, 6, sometimes 7 hours a day in the Word when I wasn't substitute teaching to make a supplemental income. Movements of God, movements where I repented and turned from attitudes of pride and arrogance, movements of God where fear was removed from my life, and I learned how to walk in life with a confidence in not worrying and not walking in fear, although I've not been perfect at it. But I want to tell you this, I know how to walk in it. And when I'm not walking in it, it's my fault. It's what Jesus does. He teaches you to walk through it without complaint, without grumbling, without whining, without speaking and spewing stuff and ranting in my life and out of the things that come out of my mouth. These are times of kairos. These are times of visitation when God comes and he moves in our lives. And what I love about it is that although my kairos that I just described may not look like your kairos, it may not look like your time. And that's the beauty of it, because God knows how he's wired you. He speaks your own language. He knows what's in your heart, and he'll speak to you in a way that he doesn't speak to me. He'll visit you in a way that he doesn't visit me, although it's still a visitation from God. And it's a visitation where I have this great opportunity just to say yes to him. Like we said Sunday morning from my fireplace, even when it doesn't make sense. Even when things that God asks us to do that doesn't make sense, I can have an opportunity for a kairos moment. There's a 3-year period in Israel's history when the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, when the Prince of Peace, when the Mighty Counselor, the Eternal Father came in the flesh. And yeah,
Yeah, it was they say around 2 BC. Chronos time he came. But every person he touched and every person he spoke to, they had a moment of visitation. And Jesus is approaching this town. He's approaching Jerusalem. And he is weeping over it because they didn't recognize it. And because they didn't recognize it, they missed the invitation. And I think about all the places that speak of God coming and God visiting and God showing up to do a marvelous work in people's lives. And yet people say no to him. Let me tell you at least one of those. Children of Israel, they come out of Egypt after 10 plagues. I'm talking about a major visitation from God. Amen. Would you say that was a major visitation from God? To see all these plagues come, and not one time does it approach the people of God. I mean, the hail doesn't. I mean, the gnats don't do it. The blood doesn't do it in the Nile. I'm telling you, the angel of death does not approach them. You want to talk about miracles and visitations from God? And they get to the Red Sea. And the Red Sea is in front of them, and Pharaoh's armies are behind them, and they start grumbling and they start complaining because why? They forgot the wonders in Egypt. I just want to say this. I believe that there's always a wonder that God has for you and me after there's already been a wonder. Maybe when there's been 10, there's still room for another work, another movement, another wonder. They cry out to God. Moses cries out to God. The sea splits, and they walk into the promised land, and they're moving toward the promised land. And when they get to Jordan, God says, "I want you to get over. That land is yours." And I'm going to tell you what they did. They looked at that. They looked at all the beautiful things that God said was great about that land. You know what they said? "No, we're too scared. We're too fearful. We're not going that far. We'll stay right here." Matter of fact, at one point they said, "Let's go back to Egypt." I'm going to tell you, you don't go back to Egypt. And God says, you don't want to go into the promised land? You don't want to go? And two men are saying go, and the rest are saying don't? We're not going to go. We're not going to do that. We're not going to obey. We're not going to forgive my father. We're not going to forgive my brother. We're not going to forgive my sister. We're not going to stop doing what we're doing because we're just fine right here. And for 40 years, because they missed the visitation, wandered in the wilderness, listen to this, with 90 funerals a day. Until they all died out, all the adults died out, because they disobeyed God's voice and they missed their visitation. I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss a visitation from God, because the visitation from God is so powerful. And I want you to turn to Luke chapter 1, if you would. And I want to show you all the places in Scripture, at least in this passage and a couple of more, that what happens and God's intentions are when he comes to visit you. So it's Luke chapter 1. Now, we have this marvelous story of Zacharias, an old man, an old priest, who's married to his wife, Elizabeth, an old woman, past the bearing age of children, who has no child, who is past the ability physically and biologically to have a child, he gets a visitation. And the visitation's powerful. The visitation is so awesome. He says, "Listen, there's a Messiah coming, and I'm going to tell you this. Your son's going to come, and he's going to declare the way. He's going to be the one in Elijah talked of and spoke of." It's a powerful visitation from God. And when it's finally fulfilled, when the child comes and they name him John, the scripture says that his mouth is open because he was mute for 9 months because he didn't believe the word of the Lord. And this is what he said, and I want you to listen to it. In his father, Zacharias, verse 67, chapter 1 of Luke, and his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord, God of Israel." Now watch this. "For he has visited us and has accomplished redemption for his people. And he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, his servant, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets." Salvation, watch this, "from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us." When God visits, he comes with a visit of redemption. He comes to redeem you. Now, redemption is a very important concept in biblical history and even in history now. There's a great, great story in Scripture where Hosea actually marries a woman of ill repute by the command of God. And she continues to walk in that sin and has children not by Hosea the prophet, but by other men. And she leaves the safety of her husband and the safety of God's word. And one day, Hosea is coming through. He's coming through town, and he sees her. And you know where she is? She's on a slave block is where she's at. She's getting ready to be sold into slavery. And what's beautiful about it is, in all the hurt and all the pain, Hosea buys her back and receives her back into relationship with him. He paid the redemptive price. He paid the money, whatever that money was. There was no bargaining, none of that. He paid it. He paid it, and he took her, and she became his again, not as a slave, but as a co-laborer in the ministry. You need to hear that. Not as a slave. Why? Why would God do that? Why would God ask this prophet to do that? Because that's what God has done. That's what God has done. God has delivered a people out of Egypt. He's made them their own. But what do? They go and they follow after other gods. And God calls that harlotry. And yet God would come and redeem you and me from following after other gods and being enslaved to other gods. But the redemption price was what? It wasn't with gold or silver. It was with the precious blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Crowd noise. He accomplished redemption for us. Listen, when God visits you, he comes to visit you with redemption and the salvation of God. And let me just tell you, for me, it just didn't happen at 8. It happened at 8. It began at 8. The salvation work began at 8 and continued through 10, 17, 27, my 40s, my 50s, and now I'm into my 60s. Woo-hoo. But he's still saving, and he's still delivering, and he's still moving, and he's still visiting. He's doing it. He's still accomplishing redemption for Mike Fritcher, because it's a work, it's a walk, it's a movement of God. And every time I find myself slipping into the pit, he redeems me. He pulls me out because of the redemption price of the blood of Jesus. And when God comes to visit, he comes to redeem you, to make you his own. Watch this. Forever. Forever. And ever. And ever. It's what he did when he visits. He comes to redeem you. And I want to ask the question, right? What do you need to be redeemed from in this season of your life? What's the salvation work of God supposed to look like in your life? I'm not just talking about maybe you're lost. Maybe you've never been born again. I'm not just talking about the born again experience. I'm talking about life experience that God wants to do in our lives right now to transform us, because of the redemptive work of God did in our lives when he visited us.
How many of you remember when God visited with you when you first came to Jesus? Just testify of that. You remember it, don't you? Yeah, you remember it because God saved you. But what about the ongoing work of redemption and the continual visitations from God? This is the beauty of God. This is the beauty of who He is in our lives. And I don't know about you. I'm 61 years old, and I believe that if I've had my face fixed on Jesus, I got my face fixed on another wonder coming. I got my eyes fixed on something new, something fresh that God wants to do in my life, in my wife's life, my children and my grandchildren, in the church that I love and pastor. That God wants to do a work. Don't miss the visitation. Don't miss it when God's speaking. That when God is alive, turn off the social media and quit scrolling. And listen for the voice of God, because He's at work. And I'm just going to say this. I believe in a very mighty way right now. A very mighty way right now. I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it before my eyes. I love some of the New Testament and Old Testament scriptures about redemption. Titus 2:14, Jesus was given to us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify us to be passionate for good deeds. Psalm 103:4, He redeems our lives from the pit. He crowns us with loving kindness and compassion. Psalm 55:18, He redeems us from the battle that is against us. Psalm 119 is in my notes, but I think is it a different one, did you say? But He redeems us from oppression. Psalm 138, verse 8, He redeems us from all our iniquities. And Joel 2:25, redeems, watch this, the years that have been wasted. Could you imagine Him redeeming Kairos for you and me? The years that we wasted, the years we walked saying no to God, that He comes and He even comes to redeem those years. Why would I ever want to trample on the blood of Jesus to walk my way again, to live a self-directed life and not a God-directed, when the redemptive work of God was paid for, was enough, and He paid for it, and I'm telling you what, it is enough. It is enough. The price is enough. It's enough to walk in the redemptive work of God. Notice what he goes on to say in verse 72, back in Luke 1, to show mercy toward our fathers, to remember His holy covenant, His promises, the oath which He swore to Abraham, our father. Now watch, verse 74, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear. Let me tell you, God visits to rescue from the hand of your enemies. And our enemy, listen to me, our enemy is not flesh and blood. It's spiritual enemies. Somehow, because we are sensory people, we can't seem to sometimes get off of that. But we think that he's my enemy, she's my enemy, and I don't even know her, and she doesn't even know me, but she's my enemy. He's my enemy. No, it's not that. Paul says that our struggle is not flesh and blood. And the day I begin to understand that and live that is the day that I can love people who think they're my enemies, who want to stamp me out, who wants to stop the work of God. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago when we talked about Amalek. Those people that wanted to snuff out the life of God's people. Well, this is what I'm saying to you, that he came to rescue from the hand of your enemy. He came to rescue from Satan. He came to rescue from the demonic forces of hell, the principalities in the air that Paul talks about in Ephesians. Spirits of lust and spirits of anger and bitterness and holding grudges. And I mean, we can go on and on and on and on. He's come to rescue your hand from the hand of the enemy. In other words, the enemy no longer has his chokehold on you. And I want to just say that right now. You know, the hand of your enemy doesn't mean that he's got you by the scruff of your neck or
by your, you know, chain you up. No, he's got you by the throat. And God comes to rescue from those kinds of things when God comes to visit. That's why this can be a visitation from God can be hard. When God exposes your sin and exposes where you've been, it is a gift from God. Because when he exposes us, we have the opportunity to repent and to run to the light. Isn't that awesome? I mean, think about that for a moment. Some of the things that I've been blinded to in my life, some things that I'm blinded to that's about me that I don't realize. And when God comes along and exposes it, it's for his glory. So that I might repent, I might turn, that I might know the redemptive price of God. Because if I don't ever know I'm sinful, if I don't ever know that I need Jesus, I'll never know the redemptive work of God. I've got to know. God loves me enough to show me where I'm wrong. Loves me enough to show me where I'm sinful. Loves me enough to show me that my attitude is awful. Loves me enough to expose my sinfulness. You know, I think what's interesting about that is that Jesus said this a little bit in a way in John chapter 3. He said that evil people do not love the light. Therefore, they run from the light. And why did he say it? So their deeds are not exposed. When you run to the light, get ready for God to expose what's in your heart. And see it as a gift from the God who loves you. If I don't know I'm saved, if I don't know that I'm not saved, if I don't know anything about that, how could I ever come to know the Savior? It's in knowing my sin and my need for him that I get to know the remedy of it, where God comes to fix it. So God visits to redeem you. He visits to rescue you from the hand of your enemies. And I think a really good point here in application is to ask the question, what are the things in my life? What are the sins that keep cropping up in my life? The things that keep coming into me that gets me in the grip, and to know that God came to visit me to rescue me from that. Third, God visits to shine upon you with mercy. Luke chapter 1, verse 78, because of the tender mercy of our God with which the sunrise from on high will visit us to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, and watch this, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So four things. God visits to redeem you. He visits to rescue from the hand of your enemies. He comes to visit to shine upon you with mercy. And in that mercy, he offers you the things that make for peace. Peace with God, peace with your neighbor, peace with your spouse, peace with your children, your family, your employer, your employee, your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your son, your daughter. God's people, even those who do not like you. Waves of peace. When God visits us, he shows it. And I want you to notice something, and as I kind of try to bring this to the point here, or finish the point of this, is notice the breadth of it. Jesus visits to take away sins and destroy the work of the enemy. 1 John 3:5, God visits to give an abundant, thriving life. John 10:10, God visits to save and deliver sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15, God visits to set you apart for a specific work. Acts 26:16, arise, stand on your feet, for this purpose I've appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you've seen, but also to the things which I will appear to you. In Isaiah 61:1-9, God visits to heal your wounds, to set you free from poverty to riches in Christ, from brokenhearted to healed completely, from bondage to freedom. It's all the way of peace. But here's the thought. The thought is, will I recognize my day and my time of visitation? Will I recognize it? Will I be able to say, oh, that's God? Or I'm able to say to my wife or my spouse, honey, it's God. Why are you so angry? Why are you so offended? It's God who's visiting us right now to make this right, to move us to the next glory in all of our lives, in every area of our lives. Will you recognize it? Oh, that's God. I think there's a couple of things that you need to do when God visits. The first thing is you need to not hold back and just cry out to him. Second, you need to make no excuses. no excuses. Boy, but we love excuses, don't we? We just love it. Yeah, but. There's no buts in repentance. It's just full agreement with God. Yes. And so what I want to do, I don't want to make any excuses. I want to come. Luke chapter 14, 16 through 24 is a really powerful passage of scripture because this man, he's preparing this great, great feast and he's inviting all these people and they begin to make excuses. I bought some land. I got to go look at it. I bought some oxen here and I got to go try them out. Third guy says, I've married a wife and for that reason, I can't come. Excuses, excuses, excuses. The third thing is, and it's just, I think a very, very strong piece in Scripture is that I'm not going to delay. I'm just going to go and I'm going to obey. I'm going to run with it. You know, I think another thing is that we, I don't think this is in the notes, but we humble ourselves and we say, God, that is me. I do need it. I do need you. And you know, I think at that particular point, God's grace comes and God begins this work. And I think when I think of the visitation of God, it's kind of like this. It's God speaking, he's revealing, he's convicting, he's moving, he's inviting, and he's blessing, and he's commanding. He's commanding us, leading us to the places that he wants us to be. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that right now? Visitations. Visitations from God. When the word comes, will I respond? Have I responded? You know, one of the favorite things I like to ask myself and ask you is, what is the last thing God asked me to do that I haven't done? There's some of you in here that I know God is speaking to. Because whenever I ask a question like, what is the last thing that God asked you to do that you haven't done? You know it immediately. At least I do. Have you been covered in sin? Have you been covered in worry, fear, anxiety, and stress? Have you been covered with resentment, with unbelief? Have you been just so tired and fatigued that you're just tired and fatigued? And I'm telling you, God visits us to give us the energy, the power. He comes to give us the wherewithal and everything that we need to follow what he's asking us to do and where he's leading us to. And you got to ask the question, God, what is that? I don't want to miss you. The last 3-4 weeks, me or John Ann with me have walked about 15, 20 people through some deliverance prayers for different things. Sometimes it's 2 a day. Maybe that's you. Maybe you need to come in and say, I have walked in this stuff too long, and I need some prayers, and I need some direction, and I need deliverance, and I need some tools of freedom to walk in. And I want to tell you, you'll get them if you want them. It's a visitation from God, and it's for every area of your life. I love to think of it this way, and I say it a lot. It's like the Psalm 1 person, planted by the streams of water, yields its fruit in season. Leaf never withers. And whatever he does, he prospers. Psalm 1 people who delight in the word of God and delight to do it and to walk in it and delight to see others find freedom. My prayer for you today, my call to you today is, don't miss your visitation. And if God's visiting you with the word and God's visiting you with some special things, I want to hear about it. I want to rejoice with you. I want to help you through the dark patch, the hard patch, the rough patch. And we certainly have people in our body that could do that as well as me. Don't miss your visitation. Father God, I want to thank you for Kairos today. I want to thank you for the times of refreshing. I want to thank you for the times of movements of God in our lives. And I ask God that this message would cause us to run to you, cause us to move towards you, would cause us to say yes to you, whatever you're asking of us. And I want to pray that over the next week and over the next couple of weeks that we'd continue to see the testimonies of people who are being set free, who are finding freedom amongst their chains, who are finding freedom from their sense of slavery, who are finding redemption, that's finding mercy, that's finding the light of God, because that's what happens when you visit us. Come, Lord, visit us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'm going to do something a little different today with offering. Just really appreciate you guys.